1400 AM and Federal News Radio. May not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Listeners to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a lot of good information all about you and your health. And the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. Now, you can visit the Village Green site or the store on Cedar Lane for expert advice on supplements. And Village Green is your resource for questions about your health. They carry superior supplements from many manufacturers. And please do take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. Now, our guest today is Dr. Duffy Mackay of the Council for Responsible Nutrition. And our subject is the study that... the connection between prostate cancer and fish consumption. And we'll take a look at what the study actually tells us and what it doesn't tell us. So we're going to explore that, and we're going to start with the subject of omega-3s. A little background on Dr. Mackay. He oversees the Council for Responsible Nutrition's Science and Regulatory Affairs Department, ensuring that the association's scientific policy and legislative positions are based on credible scientific rationale. His expertise combines practical knowledge of industry regulation and scientific product development with hands-on experience as a medical practitioner. And he does see patients at Village Green on Tuesdays. He's a licensed naturopathic doctor who still sees patients on a part-time basis and in an integrative medical practice, and previously spent 7 years as a co-owner and practitioner in a family-owned New Hampshire complementary and alternative medicine private practice. We're pleased to have you on the show, Dr. Mackay, so welcome.
Thank you very much, Dana.
Yes, we've got a lot of interesting information to talk about, so let's get started on omega-3s.
And I think it's important to talk about right now, as many of your listeners may have seen some of the news coverage of the recent study that had explored men and their relationship or potential relationship from developing prostate cancer and how much omega-3s were in their blood. And there's been a lot of misinformation. So I think a great place to start is just reminding everyone what we know about why fish, as well as fish oil, is good for you. So we know that there are multiple authoritative medical bodies, such as the American Heart Association, the dietary guidelines for Americans that try to help us identify what we should eat to stay healthy. And all of these authoritative health bodies, World Health Organization included, recommend increasing fish intake because, simply, it's a source of lean protein. It has good essential omega-3 fatty acids. When you eat whole fish like sardines and anchovies, it's a good source of calcium. It's tasty. And a lot of times when you eat fish, you may be replacing other higher fat protein choices. So it's just the core message of the show should remind people that fish consumption provides essential nutrition. If you're not eating enough fish, then fish oil supplements will also supply those essential fatty acids you need.
That's very well said. And I'm also reminded that in a study on pregnant women, those who consume fish oils or fish had benefits to their child's cognitive and brain development and function, despite the fact that some of those fish have toxins. And so the opinion was it was better to consume the fish than not.
And yes.
And then we focus on the healthier ones.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think that, you know, we know, science has shown us over and over that omega-3 fatty acids, the long-chain EPA and DHA, are essential for normal development of the nervous system, which includes the eyes, the brain, and all nerves and neurons in the body. So there's a critical period during pregnancy for which the body uses these unique long-chain fatty acids to build nervous tissue. And those are some of the results you see in populations that don't get enough of these essential nutrients, where they will have you know, deficiencies or insufficiencies and poor development of certain critical tissue. So this study that we're about to talk about changes none of that. We know that, that these are essential nutrients, the body needs them, and that is not controversial at all. We also know these nutrients have been very thoroughly evaluated for safety. Just this past year, the European Food Safety Authority, for which is the equivalent of the FDA in Europe, they did a very formal risk assessment of essential fatty acids. And they concluded, and this is by taking all of the literature, looking at any signals for a safety concern, and they concluded that consuming EPA and DHA, which are these two long-chain essential fatty acids that occur in fish, that supplemental intake of up to 5 grams per day of these essential fatty acids is safe for the general population. And we must place that into context. The European Food Safety Authority is a very conservative medical authority, and so these are very good numbers to think about. If anyone has concern, we know that you can consume up to 5 grams of these safely with no concerns in the general population.
Well, that's good to know. How much fish does one consume to achieve 5 grams?
Oh, that's a whole lot of fish. That so, for example, the American Heart Association recommends 2 servings per week of cold water fatty fish, and that would provide between 250 to 750 milligrams of fish oil EPA DHA per week. So, you know, they're saying that a minimal amount is 2 servings of cold water fatty fish, which is equivalent. You know, that's putting you in the 500 milligram range.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can imagine then, I guess, to get to 5 grams, we'd have to multiply that, you know, by quite a few. You know, so you'd be looking at having cold water fatty fish for 10 meals a week to get
wow.
to 5 grams.
Yeah.
So that's like Japanese fishermen or you know, Norwegian fishermen that eat fish like in the morning and at lunch, still safe and still shown to be helpful.
Yes. I think when an article comes out with an opposite opinion of what has been in the literature for decades, it attracts much more attention. It's kind of gotten very vanilla to talk about omega-3s and their benefits. Most everybody knows that they are beneficial and that they're essential. There are some people that aren't aware of the essentiality of the omega-3s. But it seems to me they've gotten so much positive press. So it is unusual and attracts attention when there's a negative study. And our goal today is to talk about omega-3s, but also ask the question, is there really a connection between prostate cancer and fish consumption? And we're looking at what the study will tell us and or what it tells us and what it doesn't tell us. So a few more pieces of information about omega-3s and their functions, the balance, and the balance with omega-6. I think that's always helpful.
So we know that the omega-3 fatty acids have really important biological roles in the body that are the science is continually elucidating. We also know there's the cousin to the omega-3 is the omega-6 fatty acid, And the two work synergistically in the body. One sort of supports inflammatory processes. That's the omega-6 fatty acids. And these are necessary inflammatory processes. You need a little inflammation in the body to respond to infection, to respond to injury. But the omega-3s are there then to come mop up that inflammation and make sure it doesn't get too aggressive. And the prevailing thought is that when these two are not consumed or eaten in balance, we can cause an excess of inflammation. So, i.e., the omega-6s are over-consumed and the omega-3s are under-consumed. And when you look at the standard American diet, that's really easy to do because omega-6s come in things like soy oil and corn oil, for which a lot of our processed food is prepared in. So, you know, just eating any kind of bread typically will have some sort of omega-6 oil in it. So we get plenty of that. But the sources for omega-3s are much less: cold water, fatty fish, anchovies, sardines, mackerel, salmon. So, you know, how much salmon are people eating compared to potato chips? And so that's where we end up with an out of balance of omega-6s to omega-3s.
And certainly the statistics around the world document this, that the cultures that consume more omega-3s via fish oil and even the precursor beans, nuts, and seeds, it imparts a lot of health factors.
That's a really great point, Dana, and it brings us to the study, is that in this study they found that the men with higher levels of omega-3s were at increased risk for prostate cancer. And that was interesting about that is when we look at populations that consume a lot of fish, like Japanese fishermen, you look at them as a population, and their risk of prostate cancer is really low. So it's odd because in the United States, in Europe, we have very fairly high prostate cancer rates, and in Japan, they have very low prostate cancer rates. And it's long been hypothesized that the consumption of fish would account for those low prostate cancer risks. This study that has been in the news recently is the exact opposite. So what you would presume, if the higher levels of omega-3s caused cancer, you would see a lot of this in populations that eat fish.
And the Eskimos certainly are, the Inuits are certainly a population that have among the lowest prostate cancer risk in the world. So if this study was true, wouldn't there be an epidemic of prostate cancer?
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with the levels in Eskimos. I haven't looked at that data. I have looked at the Japanese, which, you know, is a population studied a lot for different health outcomes because their diet is unique. They eat a lot of vegetables. They eat a lot of fish. So if that's the case, that it's really low in Eskimos as well, I mean, that's just further validation that we need to be cautious with our interpretations of the current study.
And I think another caveat before we sign off from this segment and move to the next one, another caveat is the term fat. And so many studies talk about the high fat in a diet, but they don't differentiate always what kind of fat. Is it trans fats? Is it from what I call couch potato, antibiotic-loaded steer? Or is it really good fatty acids, omega-3s, ALA, precursors, and the EPA, DHA? And that makes a big difference. So having said that, if you've just tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break with Dr. Mackay, and we're talking about fish, fish oils, fish consumption, and is there really a connection to prostate cancer? We're taking a look at this most recent study.
Too much sugar in your body does more than add unwanted pounds. These sugar molecules bombard your body's cells, bonding with fats and proteins in a process known as glycation. And the end result leads to health issues that age your body. That's why so many people have jumped on the vitamin B6 bandwagon. B6 blocks the end products of glycation. Life Extension's paradoxal 5-phosphate is a bioactive form of vitamin B6. It enters your body ready to work. So do yourself a favor before you get 1 minute older.
Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extensions Paradoxal 5 Phosphate.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with my co-host, Dr. Kevin Passaro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so don't forget to tune in next Sunday for more information on nutrition, diet, lifestyle. We try to cover a lot of subjects. Now, today, our guest is Dr. Duffy Mackay of the Council for Responsible Nutrition, and our subject is fish and fish oil consumption. And we've been discussing a recent article about fish consumption and prostate cancer. Is there really a connection? And we are looking at what the study tells us and what it does not tell us. So let's get back to our discussion, Dr. Mackay. And we appreciate your expertise, by the way.
Oh, this is enjoyable.
So we talked about the omega-3s, their importance, and as you said, this is straight science. This is basics. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential. Omega-6s are, but we get too many omega-6s, and it's the tipping point. We get not enough of the omega-3s, and there are many reasons for that. And we were talking about cultures that have higher intakes of fish and those that have lower intakes and prostate cancer risks. Let's cover a little bit of that and keep this conversation evolving.
Sounds great. So you mentioned, just to simplify it, you know, we know that the Japanese, I keep referring to them because there's been a lot of research in their area, and you're familiar with the research on the Eskimos, but the Japanese typically eat about 8 times more omega-3 fatty acids than we do here in the United States. And their blood levels are generally twice as high, but the incidence of prostate cancer is much, much lower. So we have the incidence in North America and Northern Europe as I have some numbers here that probably won't mean much to the listener, but it's several fold higher in the westernized North America and Northern Europe as it is in Asian countries. So again, the study that was just published in the Journal of National Cancer Institute comes out with an opposite finding. And it's not that the study is done poorly. It's just that we have to be aware that the type of study it is, which is an epidemiological study, is not designed specifically to identify a cause and effect relationship. It's really only identified it's designed to identify correlations. And I think this may help explain to the listeners, for example, correlations. You could imagine someone designs a study to try to figure out why are there more bicycle accidents in the summertime? And so you're saying, what could we look at here? And someone has the bright idea, well, maybe it's related to ice cream. And so they design the study and they say, well, let's figure out how much ice cream is consumed in the summertime. And they realize, wow, ice cream consumption is up in the summertime. So those are two things that you can correlate. There's more bicycle accidents in the summer and there's more ice cream sold. But does the ice cream cause the bicycle accidents? No, it's correlated. They both occur more in the summertime. So that's with the type of study that then you need to design an intervention trial where you would actually give the bicycle riders ice cream and you would give the other bicycle riders no ice cream and you see if it affected accident rates. And my guess is you would not see, and this has really been done before where they've correlated things like this, where you realize this is a chance finding. And there's a large possibility that the study that's gotten so much attention is just a chance finding. It's a statistical anomaly. And I spoke with the researcher directly on the telephone, and he recognizes that. He says, we recognize that these types of studies have limits. However, here's a finding, and we can't ignore it. And I don't disagree. We should design more studies. We should look at other epidemiological studies. And when you do that, the totality of evidence, all of the information put together, points towards omega-3s actually having either zero, no influence on prostate cancer risk, or possibly being protective to prostate cancer. That's when you look at all the science together as opposed to this one study in isolation. So that's just something for people to think about, is that it's not that it's a bad study or a good study. It's just this is what the study found in this population. It's very important to know that the men in this study were not given fish oil supplements, and they did not record their fish intake. So all we have is one single blood test that blood was drawn, and then some men developed cancer in the next 10 years and other men didn't, and they made that correlation. It doesn't have anything beyond that. So what's happening, unfortunately, it's being overinterpreted, and people are saying, oh, my God, fish oil causes prostate cancer. Again, there was no fish oil in the study. They didn't even record fish intake. They have one single level of blood measurements of EPA and DHA. And what's odd about it is those levels aren't even high. The difference between the men that got prostate cancer and the men who did not get prostate cancer is very small. So it's like the difference of a few servings of fish a week. So my hunch is that while the researchers had their best intention, this is just a chance finding.
Well, you have explained it very well, because it's a complex issue. And we're getting a lot of calls. I know you are, all of the practitioners are, panicking about stopping fish oil. And as I went through the literature, I noted, for instance, in advanced prostate cancer, there's wonderful literature on the benefits of high intakes of EPA, DHA, and the ratios differ. There's some differentiations about the ratios. So that's more of a therapeutic look. When you give it, how much do you give? What happens?
Well, and I'm glad you said that you're getting a lot of calls and people are saying, am I supposed to stop taking my fish oil? And I think that's the heart of the issue that we're talking about, is this study, by every standard in science, would not draw someone to that conclusion. It's just irresponsible to make that overinterpretation to the fact that, oh, you need to change your behaviors today. Because, for example, when that previous study you mentioned came out, which was a population-based study where they looked at different levels, and they found that it reduced your risk of serious cancers and reduced your risk from death from prostate cancer. That didn't change everyone's behavior to run out and start taking fish oil, because it was just a cause and effect. You know, why we take fish oil is because, A, it's a source of essential nutrients. So if you're not eating your sardines twice a week, take your fish oil. That's the basics. Then there's B, we know that it's conditional for certain areas. Pregnancy, as we mentioned, the developing child, making sure your kid gets enough to nourish their brain. Then C, we have all this evidence that it's protective in cardiovascular health. So, for example, that's when we start to raise the levels up to help people maintain heart health and blood vessel health. This changes none of that. One of the things that really is sad, Dana, is back in the old days, a study like this would come out, and it would be pondered by the clinicians and the researchers and the PhDs. They would get together. They would talk about the totality of evidence. They would try to figure out, does this really mean we need to caution people against it? Other researchers would have stepped forward and said, you know, I've been studying Japanese fishermen my whole life. Here's all my data. It shows lower risk in these people. I've been studying the Inuits. They have lower prostate risk. The data doesn't make sense. And therefore, the public would have never been exposed to any of this information until it was well vetted by the scientific experts. Unfortunately, now what's happening is the study gets released, and the next day it's in the news. And it just allows for everyone to just misinterpret and overinterpret and say the wrong things. And if anyone is saying the study has implications for fish oil supplements, that's just frankly wrong, because no fish oil supplements were given to any of these men in this study.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? When you say that, the question naturally, and I have had friends ask me, then why does that study get published? How are we as a public supposed to know what to do? And I said, well, you can go in yourself through PubMed and put in omega-3s or fish oils and put in prostate cancer or breast cancer or cardiovascular disease. And you can look at the many studies. When you only look at one and it's a study that really isn't definitive, you can't make a decision based on that. And I think you emphasized it very well. I like the way you're able to make this so clear, Dr. Mackay.
Yeah, and I think this is an important area, because there is other evidence that suggests that if we can, as a population, raise our omega-3 levels even slightly, you know, into an optimal range, that we could have immense cost savings from reducing cardiovascular burden. So I'm not talking about mega dosing. I'm talking about just making sure we're getting enough to provide our essential nutrition would reduce our risk in the other end of paying a lot of money for maintaining people's heart health towards the end of life. And so what the possible downside of this study that we're talking about is that it scares people away from getting the essential nutrients they need.
Yes, and just deviating slightly toward a supplement safety, I give my patients a handout explaining the death rate from medications is 160,000 to 190,000 a year, and that data is always a few years behind. Supplements are 0 to 10 per year, and most it's when toddlers get mom's iron pills that look like little M&Ms, and nobody realizes the toddler has swallowed, you know, most of what's in the bottle. And that is, of course, a tragedy. True toxicities are hard to come by because of the regulation for homeostasis. The body absorbs more when it needs more and less when it needs less. And people don't understand that homeostatic regulation protects us unless we're overwhelming the gates. I've seen only one toxicity in my own career, my whole career. Not generated by me, I wish to say. The patient was taking on his own 50,000 units of A a day for years. Reversed in about 2 months when I went to his house and looked in his cabinets. And there it was. And it reversed, and he stabilized within 2 months.
Well, another important thing to think about is we know that demographics of your vitamin user are slant towards female. We have a lot of female supplement users, and females don't have prostates. So for the majority of supplement users, this study has no bearing at all. And in fact, the same research group that published this study with a very similar methodology published the significant reduction in risk for breast cancer. So, you know, again, these studies don't provide a cause and effect, but it goes to show how the information can bounce all over the place with this type of study and how we should look to the experts, look to the World Health Organization, American Heart Association, those who have pawed through the literature with knowledge and said, yes, omega-3s are good for you, and yes, these are recommended amounts, and yes, there's some reason to be, you know, not go above 5 grams unless instructed by your doctor. So again, you know, while yes, you can send someone to PubMed to look at all the literature, you know, a lot of people don't have the trained eye to make heads or tails of all the statistics and the craziness that goes on in research. So it's also good to say, look at what the dietary guidelines for Americans say. You know, this is where you get the best PhDs in nutrition science sitting around kicking this information around, and they come up with a nice conservative conclusion that says omega-3s are essential. Make sure you get enough.
Well said. Well said. And I we can carry that on in the next segment. For those who have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm Dana Lake, your host, and we are going to carry on this interesting conversation with Dr. Duffy Mackay regarding fish and fish oils, and is there really a connection to prostate cancer? And we're looking at the study and talking about it, and we'll carry that discussion on. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 AM, so remember to tune in then. We also stream through MyVillageGreen.com, so you can listen to this show again or any show through MyVillageGreen.com. Our guest today is Dr. Duffy Mackay of the Council for Responsible Nutrition, and our subject is the study connecting omega-3s or fish consumption to prostate cancer. And we've asked the question, is there really a connection? And we are looking at what the study tells us and what it does not tell us. And so what I learned from you in the last segments is it doesn't tell us to stop taking in omega-3 fatty acids via fish and or fish oils. It tells us to eat more fish. So let's keep talking about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, for your average listener, you know, I call it nutritional whiplash, is when, you know, one day Nutrient X is good for you, get more because science says so, and the next day a study comes out and says it's bad for you or it doesn't do anything for you. And so as a consumer, you're constantly pushed back and forth in this whiplash of, well, what am I supposed to do? And so, you know, what we always as scientists and as clinicians have to do is, well, what does the total body of evidence tell us? And that's why this study, you know, and these authors definitely are not telling us to keep eating our fish. When you look at all of the evidence combined, it's telling us to eat our fish, get our fish oil supplements. And that brings us to one of the other areas of this space. When we're talking about omega-3s and we're talking about our patients and our customers, there's a lot of choices for getting these essential fatty acids. And so, you know, the responsible thing to do, you know, when you're working with patients, as you and I know, is to encourage them to eat fish. Why is that great? Because then when they're eating fish, maybe they're not eating bacon cheeseburgers. So that's step one to help people on the pathway to health, is fish is part of a healthy diet. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people don't like fish or can't afford fish or they don't have access, you know, the stores they go to. I mean, even here in the D.C. metro area, sometimes you go to the store and the fish choices are pretty bad. You know, sometimes they're great. And so that's where fish oil or other sources of omega-3s come. And as you know, Dana, and you probably know more than me, there's quite a few choices out there.
Yes.
So we have, you know, we have fish oil, we have cod liver oil, we have concentrated fish oil, we have krill oil, we have, like you said, vegetable based. There's our flax oils. And all of these are providing some form of omega-3 for which then we're depending on our body to absorb and metabolize. And what I would like to caution listeners, and if one would think, well, this study, they're talking about fish, so I'm going to move my product choice over to, say, krill, we have to just remind people that nobody was given fish oil, fish krill oil supplements, or recording their levels. So these, you just walked up to someone, drew their blood, and you noted the level of EPA and DHA in their blood. That could come from any source. It's also influenced by things like your personal genetics, what other foods you're eating that may either block absorption or make fish oils absorb better. So there's all these variables that aren't accounted for in the study, but the important message is that this does not demonize or make fish oil bad for you by any means, and by the same token, doesn't mean that other sources of EPA and DHA that may be available, or even ALA, which is the vegetable source, would have any different. If these results were true, any source of omega-3s would contribute to your total intake and your blood levels. But as we've discussed already, I personally am not changing my supplemental habits or fish intake based on this data. And I do have a prostate gland. So You know, I'm very confident that, you know, we've looked at the data. And while I encourage this line of research to be continued, let's look at other populations. Let's do some more blood level studies and be more specific. Let's take blood multiple times through a 10-year period to see if we can correlate different levels of EPA and DHA to different outcomes. So we have to honor that these researchers were well-intended and they have contributed to our knowledge. They've added to the knowledge base. But research grows in small steps, so this doesn't dramatically change the totality of evidence.
Yes, it's one thing to consider is what you're saying. Talk a little bit more about who the men were in the study and what their habits were.
Well, let me pull the study out. So this was a man. This study, is the trial was originally designed, and it's called the SELECT trial, which is the selenium and vitamin E trial. Essentially, what is it? It's the selenium and vitamin E cancer prevention trial. So this was a clinical study that was originally designed where they supplemented men with, oddly enough, selenium and vitamin E to see if they would have cancer down the roads. So this was a study that's done. It's been published. What this researcher did is he went back to the blood that was drawn from these men initially, and he looked for men that did develop prostate cancer. So, you know, when you do these kinds of studies, you follow these subjects for multiple years, and they knew which ones at the end of the study developed prostate cancer. So they went back to the blood draws that were taken at the beginning of the study, and they assessed those omega-3 levels. And then what they also did is they said, we have these men. There was 834 of the men that ended up getting prostate cancer in this study. So they have those men, and they have their blood levels. And they said, let's match them to a bunch of men that were also in the same study that are similar age, similar race, similar, you know, similar characteristics that did not get prostate cancer. And they just compared the levels of omega-3s in the men who had developed it and the men who didn't. And what they found was slightly higher levels of omega-3s in the blood of the men who got cancer. But again, what's really the first red flag is the differences in the percentages between the men who did not get cancer and the men who did were very small. They were about 2% difference, 2 percentage points different. So people who are experts I spoke with that do a lot of studies where they draw blood and assess levels, to put in perspective. So the non-cancer group had about a 3.6% EPA DHA, and the cancer group, the high-grade cancer group, at 3.7. So you have a very small 0.2 percentage difference, which is mathematically it's about a 2% difference. This represents, it'd be like comparing men that had 2 fish sandwiches a week, like just regular old fish sandwich, and men who had 4 fish sandwiches a week. That's how small the difference is. In a supplemented population in studies where they give supplements, typically the range is about 7.5%. So you can imagine if you do a study where you actually give supplement pills, they tend to have about a 7.5% level. The men in this study had below 4%. So these weren't men who took supplements. These are just garden variety Americans who probably ate moderate to low amounts of fish. So for me, common sense is just like, you know, you take a population who barely eats fish anyway, and you're comparing guys who ate a little bit more fish to guys who ate some fish, and you're trying to tell me that it dramatically changes their prostate cancer risk. It just doesn't all add up. And then you go back to look at all this other evidence that suggests it could be protective. Again, it doesn't add up. And so you just have to back away from this and say, you know what, this study maybe chance. And that's the whole thing about statistics and epidemiology, is there's always the potential. That's why we have things like confidence intervals. How confident are we in that these results aren't just chance? So,
yes, very well said. And I think the biggest change in the last 30 years in my career really extends almost to 50 years, is that we have better testing. And I know that 10 years from now, it'll be so good and we'll laugh at what we had today. But we have sophisticated testing for identifying nutrient deficiencies, functional deficiencies, red cell membrane levels of fatty acids. So when we get down to the individual person, what we care about is their individual needs and what are their genetics. We can even do gene SNPs and guide diet and supplementation based on uniqueness. And so to me, that's the most exciting thing that's happened. So we will be back shortly. We're taking a brief break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this unusual study that sort of flies in the face of previous studies, but what it does tell us and what it does not tell us. And if you've just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Want to digest your food more effectively and more comfortably? You need extraordinary enzymes from Life Extension, with 12 natural enzymes that work together to support a healthy digestive system. Extraordinary enzymes helps your body convert protein, fiber, and fat to energy and better absorb nutrients from the foods you eat. It also helps break down vegetables that are hard to digest. And unlike commercial supplements, it doesn't contain the amylase enzyme, which can promote unhealthy after-meal glucose spikes. So stop by Village Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extension's Extraordinary Enzymes.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for the day, Dana Lake, and I alternate with Dr. Kevin Passaro. And today we have a very interesting guest, Dr. Duffy Mackay of the Council for Responsible Nutrition. And our subject is fish and fish oils. We've talked about the importance and benefits of omega-3s. They are numerous. We won't summarize them right now because we did cover that. And we're also discussing a recent article about fish consumption and prostate cancer. Is there really a connection? And we've been looking at what the study tells us and what it does not tell us. So, Dr. Mackay, if you could just highlight the points that we have talked about with regard to the study.
Okay, absolutely. First, as we mentioned, we have to place this one study in relationship to the total body of evidence we have about omega-3 fatty acids, fish, and fish oil supplements. And if you got 100 scientists in the room, I think the conclusion would be fish is good for you, fish oil is good for you. And that also lends from the credibility of organizations like the American Heart Association, who recommend 2 servings a week of cold water fatty fish. And, again, a very conservative organization, not a fan of supplements, they'll go as far to say, and if you're not eating fish, consider fish oil supplements. We also have instructions in the 2010 Dietary Guidelines of Americans, where they've identified that Americans, for Americans, us here in the United States, omega-3 fatty acids, the EPA and DHA, are shortfall nutrients. That means we don't get enough of them. So they also encourage more fish consumption. We have the World Health Organization. They also recommend adequate levels of EPA and DHA. So again, the world's experts on diet and nutrition they're all set. Fish is good for you. So that's an important context. We have other clinical trials as well as epidemiological trials that conflict with the current study. So we have other studies that show that higher levels of omega-3s are protective from prostate cancer. So when you have conflicting evidence like that, it's even more important to not rely on a single study's results and the author's conclusions and interpretations. We also have within the study some significant limitations that should moderate our concern over what the authors are reporting. And I think the major limitation is, first of all, the study design. This is the type of study that all scientists agree is well designed to find correlations, but it's not well designed to find a cause and effect relationship. So while this biomarker of fish consumption, EPA and DHA levels were elevated slightly in the men who got prostate cancer, it does not mean that that had anything to do with the development of that cancer. So, for example, what if the correlation was real? We know that this marker in their body, they had higher EPA, just means they may have eaten more fish. What if there's another toxin in fish, like mercury, that was the cause of the cancer, and the actual EPA and DHA is protective? So we have to consider that. And you and I both know the difference between consuming fish and consuming fish oil is that fish oil is processed to remove the environmental contaminants. They remove the lead, the mercury, the PCBs through a molecular distillation. That's not to say fish is bad for you, but fish oil is cleaner because they can take it through that filtration step. So, again, reinforcing that this study was not designed to prove this. You have conflicting other studies out there that suggest the opposite. And you also have just the limitation that we have one single blood draw from the men at a point at the very beginning of the study, and then they didn't develop cancer for decades later. So again, it's a single point in time. You know that their levels were different, but it doesn't mean, you know, the guys with higher levels could have stopped eating fish until they got cancer, or they could have started eating a lot more fish. You know, we just don't know what they did between the time of the first blood draw when we have the measurements from to the point at which they developed cancer. So there's so many confounding factors. Did they smoke? Did they not smoke? Did they, you know, was this fish fried they were eating? Was it, you know, blackened? We don't know any of that information. So it's much, much, much too soon to conclude there's any relationship and there should be any concern. So to me, those are some of the very, very important high points. The other really important point is they had blood levels of EPA and DHA, but they had no information on what these men ate at the beginning of the study or throughout the study. So we don't even know if they ate fish. They did not give them fish oil, so no one was supplemented in this study. So all this conclusions that, oh, this study shows that that supplements are dangerous or fish oil is dangerous, that's just, I don't know what you would call that. That's just misinterpreting. It's trying to sensationalize the study du jour, as I like to say, the study of the day. You know, people are just trying to get some press time. You know, as they say in the media, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, if it's contradictory, you know, it's news. You know, we never read a news article that says 5,000 planes landed safely at Dulles today, but we'll always read the news article that says one plane crashed at Dulles today. So we have to remember that fish oil studies, positive ones, are coming out almost weekly, and the one that is contradictory gets all the attention.
I like that, weekly.
It's true. The literature on fish oil is amazing. I mean, there's so much study of fish oil. And I think, if anything, this study will trigger more research because people will say, well, we need to look closer at this question. And that's the nature of science.
It sure is. And also, I note when studies come out that might say a certain nutrient, let's say fish oil, doesn't do anything for skin. Cancer. Let's say that it comes out with that. Well, then don't take it. No, maybe that isn't
right.
as important
right.
an effect. And so it sort of perplexes me how some studies pick a symptom, a condition that may have nothing to do with that nutrient. And I've never quite understood that. And then that gets press. It gets a lot of press.
Right. So something that's known to support immune health is studied for eye health, and lo and behold, it doesn't work for eye health. Well, we're not that surprised. We didn't think it would. But sometimes these studies are initiated because someone has the idea that it will work. So, research is so important, and it's so important to continue that everyone is supportive of research, that the industry contributes and gets research done, that the government and NIH and NCAM, that they're doing research so that we can identify these types of patterns. And like you said, the whole area of individualized nutrition and understanding how our background genetics influence this. I mean, that's one thing these studies will never be able to address is, you know, nutrients are not drugs. And if we try to keep studying them like we study drugs, we may be misled. Because we have unique things with nutrition like biochemical individuality. Everyone reacts a little differently to the consumption of omega-3s because we all treat, you know, we have different metabolism and different enzymes. We have different racial and ethnic backgrounds. And so with drugs, it's different. You know, these are all drugs are new to nature molecules. They're not part of our background diet. You put them in the body, and you're going to see the effect, and it's easy to measure. With nutrition, we have things like homeostatic control. We have things like a lack of a true placebo group. I mean, imagine trying to get a real placebo group. You can't make people have no omega-3s on board because they would get sick. That would be unethical. You know, so there's all these challenges in studying research, and that's why we can't overinterpret this data and assume it's black and white.
Very well summarized. Thank you, Dr. McKay. I appreciate you being on the show. We've learned a lot, and we certainly have to do this again. And listeners, Dr. McKay does see patients on Tuesdays at Village Green. Just a heads up in case you want to talk to him. And again, thank you, and we'll have you back.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us here on The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. A reminder that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 AM. Now, as our lives move forward, I am reminded that every day is a new day and every minute a new minute, giving us many opportunities to make positive, health-enhancing choices. So please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
We're all different, but if we all stand up as one, no one stands alone.
Won't you stand up, stand up, stand up?
One by one, we can change the world. It's up to you and me. On Monday, October 7th, let's all wear our blue shirts for World Day of Bullying Prevention.
Won't you stand up and use your voice?
Get your blue shirt at stompoutbullying.org.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, Federal News Radio, and federalnewsradio.com.
AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire. Lon Snowden says his son Edward has no chance of getting a fair trial should he return to the U.S. to face spy charges in a